The scene outside a presentation for any major energy infrastructure project tends to feature two crowds. Unions.
My name is Adam Lupino, the regional policy coordinator for the Laborers International Union of North America.
So you guys brought the truck.
We brought our truck up, yes.
It's pretty bright.
Yes, it is.
This group came with a box truck with huge LCD screens on three sides that glow with slogans like pipelines are lifelines and our jobs are on the line.
In a pipeline project where, you know, $4 billion in private investment, 3,000 construction jobs is a real shot in the arm for our organization.
And just across the parking lot, locals wield Stop the Pipeline signs and handwritten placards. Nancy Nye from Fitzwilliam is part of that crowd.
My house right now is right on the power line, and when they take their 100 yards or 100 feet or whatever it is that they want to take, my house is gone because they can't go directly on the power line.
Inside the hall, bright posters give Kinder Morgan's best pitch for why the pipeline is needed. The project is billed as a way to alleviate a pinch in natural gas pipeline capacity that has led to wintertime spikes in the cost of gas and electricity. 71 miles of new pipe are proposed that would cross 16 towns along the southern border of the state from Winchester to Pelham. It would carry fuel from the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania. Alan Fore, VP of Public Affairs at Kinder Morgan, says around 90% of the project is planned to be co-located with an already existing electric transmission line. Though it's not yet clear how much of the project will actually be under the power line, next to the power line, or just outside the power line right of way.
Co-location, at a minimum, means adjacent to, at a minimum. What we are working towards is co-location within.
But Fore says it all depends on topography and the space available, not to mention the agreement they reach with the power line's owner, Eversource Energy. He says they need 50 feet of permanent space for the pipeline itself and, temporarily, another 75 feet during construction.
The temporary part, can that all be within the already disturbed area? It can. There's 75 feet that you don't have to disturb new areas.
Projects like this are notoriously difficult to get built because all along the way there are hundreds of landowners who can get upset. For instance, in Ringe, the power line goes past the home of Bob and Elaine Dale. Sitting at their kitchen table with their many small dogs around them, Bob Dale says he's a Yankee, through and through.
Now, our lane is backed with stone walls all around, like this.
It's for good old Yankee, damn Yankee New Hampshire people like us.
The Dales don't like the idea of this pipeline. They don't believe they'll get much benefit from it.
Date January 22nd, 2015, via certified mail return receipt requested.
So when Kinder Morgan asked to survey their land, they sent back a form letter saying no.
I am denying permission to the Tennessee Gas Pipeline Company, LLC, a Kinder Morgan company, its representatives...
Pipeline activists have given these refusal letters to dozens of abutters, and many have followed through.
...in furtherance of a pipeline infrastructure project.
Kinder Morgan says without permission, they can't survey any land. But that won't stop the project. They can still get the permission to build from the federal government. And if that happens, they'll be allowed to seize any properties, surveyed or not, through eminent domain. The company says it rarely comes to that. Most accept a financial settlement for any land used by the project, and usually less than 5% of affected landowners adamantly refuse to deal. It also emphasizes it will be responsible for reimbursing landowners for any damage done during construction, like, for example, if blasting alters someone's well. But that doesn't ease the concerns of the Dale family.
My concern is pollution, explosion, fire, just the disruption of the construction, the noise, the wildlife. Where are they going to go? We have woods full of bear and fox and turkeys and coyotes and... You know, that's why we moved here.
For people who would live near this line, explosions are, understandably, on their minds. Such accidents are pretty rare on pipelines like these, but they do happen. A recent federal report notes enhanced inspection requirements imposed in 2004 resulted in a leveling off in incidents, but not a decline. And so videos of three major explosions in recent years in Florida, California, and West Virginia are shared liberally on anti-pipeline websites.
Federal investigators now blaming corrosion for that 2012 pipeline explosion in West Virginia that destroyed several homes and then cooked a big part of I-77. You remember
that? Those accidents killed 9 people and destroyed dozens of homes. Kinder Morgan's pipeline network in the Northeast is one of the largest in the country. Since 2006, federal data show accidents on that network have resulted in more than $88 million in property damage, but no fatalities.
Underground transportation is the safest way to transport anything.
Back at the open house, Alan Foer from Kinder Morgan says his company doesn't have a perfect safety record, but it is doing its due diligence.
Testing your pipe regularly with the internal inspection tools. Aerial and ground monitoring of your pipeline systems. Automatic shutdown if there is an incident. But you've got to spend the time and the money to do it, and that's what we do.
This is a massive pipeline. If it were built, the benefit would be shared across all of New England in the form of cheaper energy costs. The towns it would pass through would share in $11 million a year in increased taxes, but they would bear all of the impacts and the risks. For residents, it's a lot to take in all at once. Across the hall from Alan Foer, two citizens of Winchester are having it out.
He says it's the wrong route because his house is there.
I said it's the wrong route because it does not belong in our town, because there is nothing offered to our town.
Whoa.
Barry Montgomery, a real estate agent in town, is in favor.
Because I know that cheap energy is what makes towns grow.
On the other side, Rick Horton chairs the local school board.
We are trying to build a town for our kids. Not for today, not for tomorrow, but for 20, 30 years from now.
The two go back and forth. They don't come to an agreement, but they do shake hands. Kinder Morgan says it plans to file its applications with state and federal regulators at the end of this year. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission will ultimately have the final say on whether it's built, which, at the earliest, would begin in January of 2017. Between then and now, conversations like this one will be going on all over the state, as all sorts of New Hampshire residents try to figure out how they feel about this project. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.